the kind that excites you when the Lord will speak to you even while you're working and give you your sermon. And I came home and I told my wife, I said, the Lord has already told me what to preach today. And I kind of shared it with her a little bit. And even riding here, I shared a little more with us. You know, we go into commentaries and we look at their comments on scriptures, and we look at another one. And I looked at one, and I won't call his name. He have a study Bible, and what I saw I didn't agree with. And I have a preacher's outline sermon Bible library, well, just filled with information. And when I went in there and read it, it was the same thoughts that I had about the scriptures, or the same knowledge. So we want to share with you this morning what God has shared with us, and it is found in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. When you found it, will you please stand to your feet for the reading and the honoring of God's holy and written word. This same passage of scripture is found also in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, but I chose Matthew, chapter 12, and it's three verses. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Open Bible, and we have these words. And it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from whence I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with the wicked generation. Thank you, and you may be seated. And so reads the word of the living God. And I want to look at verse 44, where he says that he would return to his house from where he came, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and in order. And I want to use for a subject, we all need to be filled. We all need to be filled. Now, there are a lot of things that we can be filled with, but there is something in particular that we need to be filled with. When I started looking at my subject, I started to name it, we all need to be filled with something, but no, that's not appropriate, because we ought to know what that something is. There was a song out that says, something got a hold on me by Brother Joe Mays. And I changed the lyrics to the song where when it got to the end of it, it says, whatever it is, it just won't let me hold my peace. I changed the lyrics to, I know what it is. It's the Spirit of God down inside of me. We as children of God, we gotta stop saying something. Like many times, we get ready to do something and we change our mind and we see where it works to our advantage or disadvantage, and we say, something told me. Why not just say, God told you? The Spirit told you. And so this story here is about a man that had evil spirit. And so the spirit, it didn't say they were cast out by him or by who, but the spirit goes out of him. And there are some things in our lives that we get rid of, but we don't replace it with anything. There are things that we are doing as a Christian family and as children of God, and we begin to pray about it, and we get rid of some things, but we don't replace it with anything else. And notice, if you will, that when the spirit went out of the man, then the spirit start walking through dry places seeking rest, but he found none. And you know, the Bible does tell us in the book of Hebrews that there is rest for the children of God. But this man found, this evil spirit found no rest. And I thought about what it says about Satan, that he travels to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Only those that are weak, that won't pray, that won't study their Bible, that won't let the Spirit lead them, those are the ones that Satan can devour. But those of us that are in the Word and we are in prayer constantly and we are mindful of being obedient, that we are witnesses to Jesus Christ, those are the ones that Satan cannot touch, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Well, when the unclean spirit went out and didn't find any place seeking rest, he found none, then he come up with an idea. Well, I might as well go back where I come from. But what should have happened? That when that spirit left out, immediately you should have filled it with something else. And that is the Spirit of God. You should have filled it with the power of God. You should have filled it with joy. You should have filled it with knowledge of Jesus Christ. But no, this man left the house empty. Or it was swept. It was clean. And everything was in order. But it was not occupied with any power. So this evil spirit says, I'll go back. And notice, if you will, that he had claimed ownership of this man, because the text said that I will return to my house. It didn't just say I'll go back to any house, I'll go back to that house, but I will return to my house. And notice what he said, from whence I came. And when he come, he found it empty and it was clean. That gave him residence now to be able to pre-occupy that which he had previously occupied. We got to be aware that there are things that are in our lives and God deliver us from them. Maybe you are not doing that anymore, but are you doing something good, something better in place of that that you were doing? Because remember that this spirit says, I'll go back to my house and I will occupy it. And when he went back, he didn't just go back for a visit either. The Bible says, he say, I will dwell there. Meaning that if I ever get hold again, I'm not going to turn aloof. If I get back to where I was, when I get back, I'm planning on staying there. I'm planning on never turning aloof again. Now, it says also that not only did he go back, but he went, got him seven more friends, seven more spirits to go there with him. As I read that, I started searching the Bible, because I knew it was somewhere in there that there was seven things that the Lord hated. And I found it in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. And here is what it says. These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. Go down the list with me. It's a proud look. It's a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination. Set up and just think of evil things, wicked things, things that are no benefit, things that has no value, have no power. And then he says, feet that are swift to running to mischief. You can't wait to go get into your devilment and doing those things that are not beneficial to the kingdom of God, hurrying to do it. Feet that are swift to running, and then a false witness that speak lies. That's what gossip will do for you. It'll cause you to tell lies, because if you talk too much, you're going to talk the wrong things. You're going to add. You're going to take away. You're going to say something that wasn't said, because you're going through too much speaking things that are lies. And here is the seventh one. He that sows discord between or among the brethren. Do you know, I don't understand how people will sit in a church And they will say things to stir up things in the body of Christ, knowing that God say there shall be no division among you. No, we are one family. We are one in Christ Jesus. There should be no division. There should be no discord. I remember Paul even told the church at Corinth, you know, I come on this journey. I wanted to feed you meat, but I couldn't give it to you because there was envy and strife among you. And turns around and say, and I hardly believe it because I've been around you and I hear what you're saying, how you do it and how you divide and how you come. So I have to say that I partly believe it because I've witnessed you doing these things. And so this man say he will bring seven more wicked spirits with him, and that they're going to stay there, dwell there, and the last state going to be worse than the first state. I can witness to some of that. I've known people, one in particular, that used to just drink a little, became a pastor, a great leader in the city of Natchez, backslid, ran away with the woman, went away, got rid of that woman, got another one, got rid of that one, got another one. But guess what else happened? Not only is he still just drinking a little bit, he is drinking alcohol, smoking a little marijuana, walking around with his cap turned backwards, Jerry curl on his head. And even before he became a pastor, he wasn't doing any of those things. But it says that your last state gonna be worse than your first state. We gotta be careful. If you get a hold on God, a hold on his principles and power, don't turn it loose. Just hold on to what you got. The change is truly gonna come. We cannot afford to fill our lives with evil, sinful, or wicked ways. Things that are foolish and ungodly and unrighteous things, but we must fill it with holy things, righteous things, and godly things that will please God, glorify him, and elevate each of us. Neither can we allow our lives to remain empty. Somebody say, well, I'm not doing all of those things that others are doing, but are you doing the thing that God has called and required you to do? No, you might not be cussing and fussing, might not be smoking and drinking, lying and cheating, but are you praying? Are you studying your Bible? Are you doing good for those that are hungry? Are you helping those that are naked? Those that are in prison, are you visiting them? Those that are sick, are you visiting them? It's not always, when people always ask a question sometimes, well, what's wrong with this? Well, you need to change that question and ask sometimes, what's right with this? There is nothing right about what you're doing. We that are children of God, we must know and be aware that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. That's what we are. We are filled with. We are filled with the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, not only are we the temple or the body or the house of the Holy Spirit, it's in us and it's given to us by God. And it says, you are not your own. We can't do anything that we are big enough to do, say anything that we want to say. People are watching us. The Bible says you ought to be witnesses unto me. Even the Bible says you ought to repent. Hold them and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And guess what follows there? And you shall be filled with the, not the earning, but the gift of the Holy Ghost. Meaning that if you just repent, if you do your part, God say, I'll do the rest. All I want you to do is have a change of mind and a desire to change your ways. He says, I'll equip you with what you need to do that which you desire to do. I know you've either read or you heard Paul in Romans 7 said, the thing that I would not. The thing that I would not, I would. He says, I find another member warring in my body, and I'm sometimes I'm betwixt doing what is right and what is wrong, but you have to come to the realization and ask the question like Paul. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he found his answer very quickly and said, "But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Christ." His victory is only in Jesus. That's why we must be filled with his word, with his presence, with his power, with his protection, with his provision, because he supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to dress it right. Yeah, we have to feed it right. We have to treat it right. We have to watch where we let it look at. We have to watch where we let it listen at. We have to watch where we let it go. We have to watch those things, because this is God's body. We are not our own. In Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, it says, "When the day of Pentecost," that's the 50th day after the feast of the Passover, "when it had fully come," completely come, it was on its way, but it hadn't made its arrival. And that's why Jesus told the disciples, "I want you to go into the upper room and I want you to wait there until you be endowed with power from on high. That you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost part of the earth." Well, when he talk about witnessing in Jerusalem, the first thing, Jerusalem is in your home. Yes, Samaria, that's in your neighborhood. Judea, rather, is in your neighborhood. And then Samaria is in your community and in your city. And then the uttermost part of the earth is wherever you may find yourself, wherever your journey may take you. You ought to be witnesses unto the Lord, because they needed boldness to be able to not be ashamed to speak the word of God. But when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Bible tells me that they first of all had to all be of one accord, speaking the same thing. Not some lifting up the pastor and some putting him down. No, not some lifting up the first lady and some criticizing her. But all of one accord. We came here for Jesus Christ. It's all about him. And so they were of one accord in the thing that were pertaining to the kingdom of God. Don't be distracted when you enter into this house of God. First of all, you ought to enter on the parking lot. It says, "Enter into his courts with praises and enter into the temple with thanksgiving." So you got to not let those things get on your mind. I used to have a deacon at one of the churches I used to preach at before, where I was a member, and he would come in on Sunday telling me about the big white perch he caught. What good time. Now, wasn't nothing wrong with white perch and fishing and all that, but something is wrong when I'm giving my mind to the Lord right now. If I start talking about fishing and hunting and all those things, then when time to begin to worship, I got to clear my mind first. I got to get all that out of my head. And the congregation is going on with the worship, and I got to catch up. So when I enter in, I want my mind on nothing but the word of God, but the spirit of God, but the praise of God, in order that I may be on one accord with the rest of my brothers and my sisters. And guess what happened when they did it? It said, "Suddenly, all of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, like as a cloven tongue appeared unto them as fire. And it began to set up on each of them. And as it set up on each of them, they all began to speak in another language, as the Spirit of God gave them the words to say," utterance. The words to say, and they begin to magnify God and uplift his name. Well, they were all filled. That's why I say we all need to be filled. Not some of us, not just the pastors and the ministers, not just the choir members, the deacons or the mothers, but the entire body of Christ. We all need to be filled with God's Spirit. Another one in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, where is dissipation or in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a comparison there with being drunk with wine than being filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit does not mean you'll be bubbling up and running over, even though the Bible says that there will be a river of water that will flow out of our bellies. But to be filled with the Spirit, it means to be influenced by and led by. If you don't believe me, say, don't be drunk with wine. Well, if you're pulled over for having drink too much, and they end up putting your name in the paper, it's not going to say drunk and driving. It's a DUI. That means that you were driving under the influence. Well, he just compared being drunk with wine than being filled with the Spirit. So what he's saying to us, don't be driving or drinking under the influence, but I want you to be operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's much more better for you. Because see, when you are drunk with wine, you find that you're not able to talk right. But when you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you can speak those things that edify and those things that make you. You can't even walk right when you get drunk. No, you're stumbling and staggering. Well, when you are filled with the Spirit, you'll be able to walk upright, walk straight. You'll feel like somebody. The Bible says that you have a holy condemnation in Jesus Christ, for we are ambassadors, representatives. We are the holy priesthood, so we need to be filled with the Spirit. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 through 32, we're talking about homosexuals and lesbians. When they knew God, they did not lack to retain God in their knowledge, for they went about to establish their own way. And it said that if you don't retain God in your knowledge, the information that you receive, let God be the knowledge of that. Let it be your mind, because it said if you don't, you will have a reprobate mind. Anybody know what a reprobate mind means? You wouldn't think that you'd ever get to the state where you don't know right from wrong, don't know good from bad. But yes, it can happen, because God says, I'll cause you to have a reprobate mind. And then there's a chance of you being filled with all unrighteousness, such as, the list is long. You can put a check by it if it applied to you, but I must read it. It says that you'll be filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacably, unmerciful. All of those things happen when your mind is not filled with the knowledge of God. We learn what we live around. In Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm almost finished, and verse 19, you have to really know Christ. Yes, you have to know which is the best knowledge that will fill us, his will, with all the fullness of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 10 says, we can be filled with the knowledge of God and his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You got to learn more than just knowing that God's son was named Jesus, that he died on the cross. They buried him. And in 3 days, he rose again with all power in his hand. You got to learn more than that. You got to know what he is to you. You got to know who he is to you. You got to know who you need to be to him. We got to learn to act sometimes, not only what he can do for us, but what we are supposed to do for him. You got to learn the genealogy of him. Learn all of those things and not just his name, because that means that you will just know of him, but you won't know him. You got to really fellowship and have a relationship with someone to know them. Someone could ask, do you know George Bush or do you know Reverend Jesse Jackson? Yes, you know him, but have you ever talked with him? Do you know his likes and his dislikes? Do you know the good and the bad? Do you know things about him? Well, you don't know him, you just know of him. But if you ever get to fellowship and to meet a person, you'll find out all of those things. We need to find out those things about God and about his son, Jesus Christ, in our life. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4 say we can also be filled with joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You don't have any joy, you're weak. You don't have any strength. So we have to have a peace. We can be filled with the peace of God, and that peace surpasses all understanding. Yes, now, we can walk worthy of the Lord. We can please him and be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. Now, I'm going to tell you this story as I come to an end. If you will, this man was faring real well, but he had allowed things to creep in his life. He looked around and found out that there were things that were not pleasing to him nor his God. But finally, the evil spirit left him. Perhaps he started praying a little more. Perhaps he started seeking prayer from his brothers a little more. And then this spirit left him. But when the spirit left him, all he did was start cleaning up the house. All he started doing was sweeping the house. But now I want you to bear in mind that this house is his life. We are talking about his life. In other words, I got all of that stuff out of my life now. But when you get the bad stuff out of your life, you gotta replace it with the good stuff. We gotta replace it with the Word of God. You gotta replace it with Jesus Christ. So this man just stayed around the house, not going to church anywhere, not going to Bible study or prayer meeting, wasn't going out in the street doing anything bad, but he also wasn't doing anything good. Got the house all fixed up, needed to have moved Jesus Christ in. He should have remembered, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open up, I will come in, and I'll sup with you, and you can sup with me. But no doubt when he heard the knock on the door, he peeled the curtain back and saw that it was Jesus, and went back and sat down again. No doubt in mind, the power of God came by again one day. But the man did not let it in. He thought he was doing good because he wasn't doing no bad thing anymore that he used to do. And then finally, this spirit that had left him was out there walking up and down the street, ran up on Pastor Cole, and saw that he was filled, and there wasn't no room for him to come in. Yeah, he went to Pastor Cole, and went to some of the choir members. Yeah, some of the mothers of the church ain't got no room for me. Yeah, the deacons, they ain't got no room for me. Why? Because they filled with the Spirit of God. But then as he kept on walking and kept on looking, couldn't find any of the church members, because they were all doing fine. They were all filled with the power of God. So I've been traveling to and fro. I've been roaming up and down the earth, but I can't find nobody to dwell in. Because they keep prayer on their lips, and they're keeping Jesus in their heart. But I know what I'll do. back to that land, the place where I used to live. And just by chance, he may not have filled that house. So he goes by and he looks in, the house is clean. I don't see no prayer there. I don't see no righteousness there. I don't see no love there. And that's the kind of house that I want to live in. So he goes back to that house, and after he had looked it over good, he went back and found seven of his buddies. Say, y'all, come on, I got a place for us to dwell. Well, where you gonna go? I'm going back to where I used to stay, because that house is still empty. That house don't have no power. Most of all, that house don't have Jesus in it. Anywhere that the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is no liberty. So he come back to the house, and they walked in, and they took up residence again. And this man, the same problem that he used to have, now he got worse one. I was dealing with one spirit, but now I got seven to deal with. And he's had a hard time. His last state was worse than his first state. He used to go to church every once in a while, but now he's not going at all. Used to read his Bible every once in a while, but now he's not reading it all. Used to pray when he got in trouble every once in a while, but now he's not praying at all. I'm here to tell you today, we all need to be filled with Jesus in our hearts, filled with his word in our hearts, filled with his love in our hearts. Why don't you feel it today? Open up your heart, open up your house. Come in, he'll move all the misery the way, he'll move all the pain away, he'll move all the doubt away. When you get rid of doubt, fill it with faith. Yes, you must, you got to be filled. Yeah, when you get rid of one bad thing, you need to replace it with something good. Move hate out and fill it with love. Move idleness out and fill it with business. Move shacking out and fill it with marriage. I think I'll say that again. I'll say move shacking out and fill it with marriage. Move fornication out and fill it with celibacy. Move prayerlessness out and fill it with prayerfulness. Move gossip out and fill it with the gospel. Great God Almighty, good evening, Magnolia. I say good evening, Magnolia. The Lord bless you real good. The Lord keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you. Remember, we all need to be filled. We all need to be filled. Not some of us, but all of us. Not some of us, but all of us. Not just a few of us, but all of us. From Zion Hill, God bless you. And let me bless you real good. situation right now, you don't have Jesus in your house, He won't invite you to come while the blood is still running warm in your veins. Jesus said, the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. For today is the day of salvation. If you are here, or you would like to make this your church home, here at the Magnolia Full Gospel Baptist Church, under the leadership of Pastor Coates, we invite you to come. But maybe you want to come by letter or Christian experience, or you just might want to be a candidate for water baptism. We invite you to come while we sing this little song, My Soul Has Been Anchored in the Lord. Though the storm